Bilal, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa barakatuh. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Jazakumullah khair for once again joining us. We always appreciate you availing yourself to speak to us. In fact, you know, at the outset, we'd like to inquire about your own well-being, as we understand that your car got bombed recently. Are you okay?
Yes, alhamdulillah, I'm okay, and the OGN.news team is okay. Fortunately, we weren't in the car. The actual car itself was not bombed, but the building right next to it was, and the rubble that you know was blown off of the building crushed our car. So alhamdulillah, we were not in it.
Alhamdulillah, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let's pick up on some of the stories that have been covered. A man who feeds 1,200 poor people daily in besieged Aleppo. Tell us more about this generous man and how he does what he does.
Well, actually, we heard about him, and of course we were interested and we wanted to do a story. It's actually a pretty funny situation. So we were able to get in contact with him, and we contacted him, and he said, okay, why don't you come on down? But it was interesting because that day, we probably filmed with him around 11 or 12 o'clock. So that morning, there was no breakfast. Or I think we only had some dates or something like that. There was no food around. So it was interesting that day that we went there to film with him was the day that there was no food around. So when we got there, we smelled the food cooking and everything, and, you know, we tried to be professional and all, you know, we came there to film a project, so let's just do that. At one point I had an idea, and I said, hey, you know what, it'd be great if on camera we were to taste the food. How about that?
Yes.
So, he said, hey, that would be a good idea. So he went, and he got 3 spoons, because it's myself, cameraman, Abdul Samad, and it was also Muhammad Ghazi who presented the actual one that report that we saw. So he put the plate in front of us, and we were supposed to be eating this on camera to taste it at that time. So he set it down, somebody called him, by the time he comes back, the plate is almost empty. We didn't film anything. So, that was pretty funny, because we had one guy from New York, another from London, and another one coming by way of Germany. And, we were the hungry ones. We were supposed to be feeding him, you know. He's the Syrian one. So,
subhanAllah. In terms of your own current situation, we understand that you're still in Aleppo. Are things on the food supply side, are they wearing thin at the moment?
Very thin. I mean, you know, that's why I see... our situation is not that we don't have money. Actually, it's just the opposite. We have plenty, but there's nothing to buy. There's no food in the marketplaces. So that's where the problem is coming in. It would be different if food prices were high, but that's not the case, because food is not being smuggled in. The issue is the supply of food, and that's where a lot of families are falling short. And just because we are journalists and we're non-Syrians doesn't mean that we're immune to the problems that Syrians have to face.
Targeted assassinations continue in Syria. Who benefits from U.S. targeted assassinations in Syria?
Of course, it depends upon who the targeted assassination is against. If it's they're targeting, as has been happening recently, Jabhat al-Fateh Sham members and leadership by the U.S. government, some people, you see, we have to look at the reality of the situation. Whether you like Jabhat al-Fateh Sham or you don't like them, they're an integral part that is keeping civilian population separate from the regime, which have been barrel bombing and cluster bombing and bunker buster bombing the civilian population. Now, you could imagine when that same military outfit has direct access to civilians in rebel-controlled territories, you can imagine what kind of massacres there would be. And in many instances, not all, but many instances, one of the primary groups that are standing in between those two entities is Jebhat-e-Fateh Sham. Now, when the United States and other entities targets that group, for whatever reasons that they may have, they need to be clear that they are weakening that barrier that's between the civilian population and the entity known as the Syrian Arab Army, which has killed 500,000 people.
In Aleppo itself, are people in Aleppo stuck in Aleppo, or can they enter and leave at any time?
I'm sorry, could you please repeat the question?
Are people who are in Aleppo, are they stuck in Aleppo, or can they enter or leave the city as they please?
Okay, Aleppo has been besieged for 2 months. We came here to Aleppo to film a project, and we thought that we would stay for about 2 or 3 days. But then the siege closed around the city. So we've been stuck here for the past 2 months. So that means, to answer your question, that means that no one can get in or get out. No food gets in or gets out. No fuel gets in or gets out. So that means that, our car, one of the reasons why we were not in it is that our car had been parked for well over a month because there's no gasoline in which to buy to even to put fuel in the car. So the people, whether they are injured or they are sick or whatever the situation is, they are here, and there's no and they don't have free passage to get in or to get out. That's just the reality of the situation. And to couple all of that, there's a situation where there are hundreds of airstrikes which are being leveled each week. Hundreds. I am not exaggerating. I'm going to say that again for clarity purposes. Hundreds of airstrikes are being leveled against the rebel-controlled areas of the city. And that's got to give you the conjure up feelings of putting fish in a barrel and then shooting them, because the people cannot escape the bombardment because there's a siege. So this is what the Syrian people are looking at and dealing with on a daily basis.
We understand you asked rebel fighters in Aleppo if they will surrender the city. What did they say?
You are asking me to give you intelligence information from the report that is supposed to come out in about 1 hour. Well, but since we have deep love for the brothers and sisters and all the people there in South Africa, we'll give you some intel, okay?
I really appreciate it.
We spent the better part of the day trying to track down rebel fighters here in the city of Aleppo. Now, as people may know, the Syrian Arab regime and their Russian partners have unilaterally declared a ceasefire and said that this is so that conditions will be prepared so that rebel fighters can leave the city of Aleppo through two corridors, and civilians can leave in through six corridors. Now, this is what has been said. The first issue is that I didn't meet a rebel fighter that gave even a hint that they would leave the city of Aleppo. Now, people would be wondering, now, why would they do that? Well, one of the issues is that these fighters which are here are from these streets, these territories. These are their homes and their families in which they are defending. So their question is, why should we be leaving our homes and our villages and our streets to give it to people who came from Lebanon or from Iraq or from people who came from Damascus for that matter? So there is, I didn't meet a single fighter who thought that that was a good idea. So I think if people are thinking that they're going to be leaving these territories, I think they're laboring under a misconception.
Living and working, seeing death all the time, how do you sleep at night? Does war numb the senses?
Well, how do you sleep at night? Well, I could probably answer that question if I slept that much these nights. You know, the reality of the situation is that the bombing goes on a 24-hour basis. the regime has been trying to enter into the into these territories on a nightly basis. So the intense bombing starts to kick off around Asa time, and it'll go into 10 or 11 o'clock at night. There'll be a bit of a lull, and then it'll kick off again around 2 or 3 in the morning and go until well after Fajr. And so when you're hearing boom, bash, boom, bash on a nightly basis, that interrupts your sleep patterns. And a lot of times, and not sometimes, but a lot of times, some of those airstrikes are landing across the street, down the block, and it rocks your house. It blows the windows out. So Aleppo is not a place for people who, you know, who are looking to catch up on sleep. And that's just the reality.
Wow, subhanAllah. Allah has really granted the people strength and fortitude that they still are able to continue under these very trying circumstances. And yourself, really, really remarkable contribution that you're making in terms of your journalism and your documentaries that are being filmed. We look forward to touching base again with you, Bilal, in future for an update. Jazakumullah khair for your time this afternoon on Radio Islam.
Sure, no problem. And I just like to, if it's okay with you, just to let everyone know, they can check out the full report about those rebel fighters at our website. That's ogn.news, ogn.news.
Okay, we'll direct our listeners to that for sure. Thank you very much. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bilal Abdul Karim speaking to us live from Syria. So that is an insight as to what it is like in Aleppo at the moment. Really, really scary stuff. May Allah make it easy for one and all.